And this is a friendly reminder. This isn't part of the sermon, gentlemen, but Tuesday is Valentine's Day. If your wife's birthday falls close to Valentine's Day, make sure there are two gifts and two occasions, not one. So just pastoral tips and notes, just helping you out, gentlemen. Have thriving marriages, not surviving marriages. So just, you know, that's a side note. That one was free. So we would probably expect a sermon on love today, but it's not going to be about that. But it is going to be about joy. Joy produces love, or love produces joy, or however you want to look at that. Maybe it goes both ways. So I've titled today's message, Finding Joy. And some of you are probably thinking, I didn't realize she was missing. Not that joy. The joy, the fruit of the Spirit, joy. The fruit of the Spirit, joy. Finding joy. Do you find joy in everyday circumstances? Do you find joy only when things are going your way and you're getting what you want? Do you find joy when you're in the depths of despair and life is agonizing and painful and traumatizing and, oh, I just wish I wasn't here today? Do you find joy even then? We're going to look at God's Word, see what He says about finding joy. The thing I love about joy is it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. When I think about fruits, I think about in the natural. What is a fruit? It grows and develops. It matures over time. So we're not stuck with the amount of joy we currently have. But our joy can be produced and grown and developed and nourished and given the right nutrients and water and heat and temperature. It can grow and develop. Which means we have to take an active part in growing and developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Today we're just singling out joy, and it ties into the other fruits, as we'll see as we dig through the Word. So I wanted to look up the definition of joy as the dictionary has it. And then we're going to look at the biblical definition of joy. So joy, it's a noun, the emotion invoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. So basically, it's tying joy to getting your way. That's kind of how the world views joy. That's the Webster Dictionary definition of joy. It can be an expression or exhibition of such emotion, a state of happiness, a source that causes delight. So there's lots to be said about joy. Some antonyms of joy, or the opposite of joy. These might be things you're experiencing, but they are not joy. They're the opposite. So we should be replacing them with joy. Depression, melancholy, misery, sadness, seriousness. Ha ha, I knew it. I've been told my whole life to be more serious. I'm going to choose joy instead. I wrote a lot of 1,500-word reports in school for not being serious. Isn't that right, Mr. Swan? I think I still hold the record in his class. Sorrow, unhappiness, discouragement. Do you want to live in those? In lieu of those, God offers us joy. Sometimes it takes a little work to get back and find our joy, which is why we're finding joy. So some synonyms of joy, or things like joy. Amusement. Amusement is joy. Do you ever get amused? I got amused. It was about 5 a.m. this morning, and I just came up with the funny that, you know, some people probably don't even know joy's missing. And I was giggling to myself, sitting in my chair at home, getting ready for the message. That's simple amusement. I amuse myself all the time. Bliss, charm, cheer, comfort, Not comfort food. Comfort is joy. But comfort food brings joy too. Delight, elation, glee. These are things we should be experiencing. Now as we jump over to the Word of God, what is the biblical definition of joy? What does joy look like according to God's Word? And we're going to look at some verses in a moment, but summed up, it is this. Biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction, because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish His work in and through our lives. It's a choice. Will you choose joy? It's not always an easy choice. I think about the song we sang, New Wine, and that crushing and pressing and that cultivating and tilling to produce the grapes, to produce the new wine. New wine doesn't just show up, but it's a process of regenerating the earth and planting the seed and nurturing and caring for and adding water and nutrients to the soil so the plant can grow, so it can produce the fruit, so that when the fruit is fully developed and ready and looks beautiful and lush, then we take it and we crush it. And we destroy it to produce the new wine. It's like joy doesn't just, oh, got my joy on, ooh. It's not a button, it's a process that we have to walk through. And it can be a very grueling process. But God's process is to produce in us new and better and more joy. But we have to be faithful in walking in that process, finding our joy. How do we get back to finding our joy in the moment? Some of you probably lost your joy when you saw we're having, I don't know what you want to call it, TV worship. Some of you are going, where's the live band? Where are the singers and the musicians? I'm depressed. For some of us, it's that simple. Our joy fluctuates with what we like or don't like, or do or don't do, or I mean, my joy goes away as the temperature climbs. Some of you, it goes away as it drops. I like all temperatures. I prefer the cool ones. But what's your joy level? What does it take to bring joy in and out of your life? How fickle are you? Because God's word says that we can have joy through all things and in all things. Because joy, real joy, I don't develop, I don't manifest, I don't create, but it's from God. It's a gift from His Holy Spirit, a fruit of His Spirit that I can partake of. And it's because He's the producer of real joy. And it's offered to me always. But I have to choose to partake of it, even through my trials, even through my hardships, even through my depression, even through my anger, even through my, put your word in there. Where do you need God's joy expressed in your life? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Just before this, of course, all the exiles are returning, which means they were in captivity. They're returning, they're rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. They're getting the city back up and going, the holy city of Jerusalem. They finally complete the wall, and then they bring out the law and start reading through the law. And all the people are weeping and mourning, and oh, it's our hardship, and we were captives, and oh, poor us. And Nehemiah says this in verse 10, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you know that there is strength in joy? It's not just, have fun, be silly and goofy. But there is strength found in joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Whose joy is it? The Lord's. In the Lord's joy, in our world, it would be more like happiness. Like, if you give me what I want and I'm getting everything I want, then I'm happy or joyful. The Lord's joy is much different. It surpasses all of our whatever's going on around us and is available in that moment. And there are some times when it's not as joyful as others. But Nehemiah's telling the people, hey, we're supposed to celebrate. We're supposed to be joyful. Don't choose mourning. Don't choose sadness. Don't choose bitterness. Choose the joy of the Lord, and it will strengthen you. And they had a hard labor system set up there. In 52 days, they rebuilt the wall. They had been working hard, and they had people attacking them and coming against them, opposing the rebuilding of the wall. It wasn't like they just had it easy. They were working with a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other. Like, oh God, it's so hard. Does life ever get that hard for you? You feel like you're fighting your battles while you're trying to build your home or your marriage or your relationships or your... But even in the midst of the hardship, find the joy of the Lord, because there is strength to be found. I almost titled this Strong Joy. That would be another, there's lots of good titles. Putting a title on a message is one of the hardest things for me. I don't like it. There's lots of good titles. Could just label it Jesus every week. Jesus. Jesus. We're talking about Jesus again, okay? Because Jesus is the reason. So I have some X joys we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about expect, accept, expose, express, and experience. So first one, expect joy. Romans 14, verses 17 and 18. Romans 14, 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, which, what did Nehemiah just say to go do? Go eat and drink. So is it okay to eat and drink? Absolutely. But that's not what the kingdom of God is about. That's some of these earthly pleasures that we get to enjoy. But the kingdom of God is but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Do you want to be pleasing to God? Do you want to receive human approval? Live righteously. Live in joy. Live in peace. Because these things are pleasing to God. Expect from the Holy Spirit righteousness, peace, and joy. These are things he adds to us. We can expect that to be added unto us, to grow and develop in us. Say, God, I need to live more righteously before you. God, I need more peace in my life. God, I need more joy in my life. And we can expect that. Expect joy to be part of your daily bread. Expect joy to be alive and well in your life, because it is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It is one of his fruits. Enjoy and partake. Romans 15, verse 13. Oops, you cannot find that verse in 1 Corinthians. Sometimes, Arby, sometimes. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that first part. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. Expect to be filled up with joy. Expect that you can be overflowing in abundance with joy. it can run off of you to those around you. Expect to be filled up by God. Joy isn't something I have to go dredge up myself and make myself joyful. But I can say, God, your word says you will fill me up with joy. Right now, I don't feel joy. I don't feel like I'm experiencing joy. Right now, I'm sad. I'm depressed. I'm whatever, whatever, whatever. But your word tells me I can be filled up by you. God, I need your joy to return to me so that I have strength to overcome this mountain, this situation, this circumstance that stands before me. This fear, this anxiety, this daunting task. Expect to be filled up on joy. Next one we're going to look at is accept joy. Isaiah 9, verse 3. Isaiah 9, verse 3. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Accept that your joy can increase. In order to increase your joy, we do have some responsibilities. What do the farmers do to await the harvest? They just sit and watch and see if it comes up. They're out there looking at the fields, checking the temperature, checking the moisture, checking the, are there weeds, checking the, wait, now's the time to plant. And then we get to sit back and watch for a while, but they're still going out and checking, is it coming up, is it producing, is it doing what it's supposed to do? Then they get to watch it grow and develop, and then there's a time of harvest. But we are responsible, accept your responsibility for joy in your life. As it's your choice to pursue the joy of the Lord. It's your choice to accept the joy of the Lord in your life. It's a choice. I'm not going to be happy today. I'm going to be grumpy because I got up on the wrong side of the bed. My alarm went off 10 minutes late. And the coffee pot didn't go off, which I set the night before because the power went out. So I'm just going to have a bad day. You guys are going to get a crummy message because I didn't wake up on time. Or we can choose joy. So you know what? Last week at our annual meeting, I got here in the morning. I was printing out my notes. And like my notes just vanished from my phone. I'm like, I was freaking out a bit. I didn't choose joy immediately or for a little bit. My wife comes in, the Holy Spirit voice says, hey, he's put it in you. You don't need it written down to deliver it. It's already in your heart. Deliver what the Lord has given you. But there are those moments we sometimes freak out and we forget to choose joy. We have to accept our responsibility in the process and choose joy. And I thought about going into my office and trying to cram several hours of work into 25 minutes. I was like, you know what? That's going to stress me out even more. You know what? I'm just going to sit and be still. And Holy Spirit, I need you. Produce some joy. Produce some peace. And then we got through the meeting, and I think it went great. I thought it was great. Some of you thought it was great, so that's perfect. I think God thought it was great too. Joy should be a part of our everyday life. I think about these farmers bringing in their harvest. I think about the warriors bringing in the plunder and dividing it. That's just everyday life for them. That was something they did all year long. Like, okay, it's time to go to war. Let's go to battle. Let's get the plunder. Let's bring it home. Let's plant some crops. Let's go to war. Let's harvest some crops. Let's go to war. That was everyday life for them. Joy should be a part of our everyday life. It should be in every moment of every day because it's available from the Lord. We don't have to wait for the bank to open on Monday. We don't have to wait for the grocery store to open in the morning to get joy. But it comes from the Lord, and it's open 24/7 always for us. Accept your responsibility and joy. John chapter 16. Verses 21 and 22. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Of course, he's talking there about he's getting ready to leave, ascend back into heaven. He's talking about no one will take away your joy. That's in the future, in eternity, in heaven. When it's just joy and bliss all the time. But in the meantime, here on earth, it's like a woman having a child. How many of you would say that was a really joyous process before the baby was born? The 9 months leading up to that moment. The few hours in labor leading up to that moment. But as soon as that baby's born, it's like nothing else matters. Life is wonderful and beautiful. Upon having our first child, my wife looked at me and goes, I want 10. It's like, what'd you do with my wife? There was so much joy and excitement to see our brand new baby. It's like, joy has arrived. Except that joy comes with some hardships. What good would it be if you only had joy when you got everything you want, everything was going easy, and everything was perfect and lovely? Joy wouldn't have much power. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. You guys are getting this. You're good. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why do we need strength? To endure and overcome a hardship or a hard thing. Except that joy comes with some struggle, some hardship. But you can have joy in those moments. Expose. Before we get to expose, I have a story. I was, because like often at funerals, funerals are tough. There's family and friends that are hurting. They've lost a loved one. They're thinking about all the firsts they're going to have without that loved one. They have all this going through their mind. And it's a bittersweet time, often. And often when I'm here for a funeral, I have a hard time. Like, I have to stuff my joy. Because when I see people I haven't seen for a long time, like joy rises up me. I just want, hey, how you doing? Are you having a good day? It's wonderful. Those aren't good opening lines at a funeral. Those aren't welcoming lines at a funeral. But inside of me, I'm overwhelming with joy because of the individual in front of me. Though maybe a minute earlier, I'm grieving and in tears because of the deceased. That's the power of joy. It's like, yes, I'm hurting. I'm broken. We lost somebody. But I'm still having joy in the moment of sorrow because of who else is in my life. That's the strength of joy. Even on your worst day, even in those worst moments, you can still have that joy looking to those around you. Expose joy. Proverbs 10, verse 28. Proverbs 10, verse 28. The prospect of the righteous is joy. But the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. The prospects of the righteous is joy. When I think about Prospect, I think of the old miner with his pickaxe and his shovel and his little donkey heading off into the woods. Like he's going to go dig up some dirt, run it through his dredge or his sluice box or his little mining pan, whatever it takes. I think of this miner prospecting, digging. I think this is what it looks like sometimes for us in our joy, finding our joy. Is we might have to go through a ton of rubble and dirt and debris to produce, if we produce an ounce of gold per ton of rubble, we're doing really amazing. We have struck it rich. How many of you want to shovel through a ton, 2,000 pounds of dirt, to find an ounce of gold? Other than my brother. He does a little prospecting. But like that is striking it rich. How much rubble of your life are you willing to dig through and prospect through to find the joy in it? To find what's available to you in that moment. It's not easy. It doesn't come on a silver platter all the time. Sometimes, yes, absolutely it is. And the Holy Spirit just goes, ooh, have some joy today. Or whatever that looks like in your life. But sometimes there's also that mountain of rubble that we have to engage in the process, make the choice, I'm going to find the joy in it. In the production of that new wine, it's not an instantaneous process. It's a long, drawn out, work the ground, till the ground, plant the seed, water, fertilize, weed, take care of, prune, develop, grow. Vineyards don't spring up overnight. And then once they make their wine, it's not ready overnight. I'm told that the good stuff is aged for a really long time. Work the process of prospecting joy in your life. Be willing to endure the process of dredging through that mound, that ton of rubble, to get that ounce of joy. God, what are you making new in me today? God, what are you refining in me today? Find the joy in the mountain of rubble. You've got to dig it out. You've got to work the process. Psalms 30, verse 5. Psalms 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. There's joy in the morning, and that's like tomorrow morning, AM time, not sorrow morning. But joy comes in, joy is right around the corner. Keep pressing through until you get back to joy. There are those times of weeping and sorrow and hardship that we have to endure through to expose joy. Get back to exposing joy in your life. What does it take? What are you willing to endure to get back to joy in your life? Because God says it's available and I'm not experiencing it right now, so I just need to push ahead in faith and righteousness and peace until I get back to joy. Find the joy. Express joy. How do we express joy? Psalms 47, verse 1. Psalms 47, 1. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Clap your hands. You want more clapping? No golf claps? Shout to God! Woo! Now I need somebody to cry for joy. John's really good at it. I'm really good at it. There are tears of joy. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with joy? I think of the miracle that God's worked in our son's life in this last year and where he was at this time last year and where he is today. And like, I was at a men's meeting on Friday telling the guys about it. And I'm just in tears and Like, they're tears of joy. I am so excited about the work God has done, the miracle he has worked in the last year. And it's amazing, and it's just cries of joy. Like who would have thought? This time last year, we were hoping he could read a book again. We were hoping he could drive a vehicle again. God is good. And you can have joy in your struggles. It may take a while to get to your joy. But keep pushing through until you experience joy again. We're not to experience joy yet, but express your joy. There's lots of ways to express joy. I'm kind of a loud person. If you ever sit by me at a basketball game or a football game or a wrestling meet, or my wife likes the wrestling meets because then she gets massages. Like, I'm putting moves on her and rubbing her shoulders. I get intense. It's exciting. But how do you express joy? There's lots of various ways, and we do it differently. For some, it's like, woo. For some of us, we're doing cartwheels and backflips. And contain it. Easy. Proverbs 15:23. Proverbs 15, verse 23. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? There is joy in giving a right response. And there is joy in giving a timely word. Have you ever had somebody speak a word into your life in precisely the right time, the right moment? It's like, wow, that was on time. 2 minutes later would have been late. 2 minutes earlier would have been like a hand grenade going off in your pocket. But right now, that was perfect. There is joy, especially being the one to deliver that word. I've had some words that God's given me for people that I've given to them, and they didn't make sense to me. They were all messed up and a jumble. What does this even mean, God? And like, he didn't reveal it to me because it wasn't for me to know. My part was in being obedient, taking that word to the individual and delivering it to them, because to them, it was a mountain of gold. It's like, you have no idea what you just spoke into my life. No idea what you just said about a situation I'm dealing with. You're right, I don't. But God asked me to come and tell you this. And to me, it was chaos and made no sense. To you, it was perfection. That brings joy. It's like, yay, I get to be the deliverer of chaos. No, for them, it's good news. So make sure, choose your words wisely. When God asks you to go and deliver a word, it doesn't have to make sense to you. Yes, seek God and ask for further understanding. But if he doesn't give it to you, you have to go in obedience, and God, it's between you and them, and you'll work it out. And I may never know what it meant to them. But they may let me in on it and say, hey, this is what that meant to me. In that moment when you said X, Y, Z, it meant A, B, C. I know it didn't make sense to you, but for me, that was like a turning point in my life. One Sunday, I was up here probably, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. As I was sitting here, there was a gentleman in the back, and God kept saying, you need to go greet him. You need to go greet him. It's like, as soon as I got done with my message, I'm like a laser. I'm on him. People try and talk to me on my way out and say hi and stuff. I'm like, I got to get to that guy. I don't know why, but I'm supposed to go greet him. And like, by the time I hit the back doors, he's like across the parking lot climbing in his truck. So I like go running across the parking lot. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you at church today. It was someone I'd seen in town a few times, maybe had a couple of conversations with. Didn't know real well. I met him in his truck and just, hey, good to have you in service today. Good to see you. And that was about the extent of the conversation. But what we didn't know is that he had had a talk with God earlier that morning. He said, God, if you're real, I'm going to give you one chance. I'm going to church today. And if nobody talks to me, I'm coming home and putting a bullet in my brain. You know, one person talked to him that day, and it was me. Not to say bad on anyone else. He came in late, left early. But I was that, well, what if I hadn't obeyed that day and said, oh, I have 16 rows before I can get to you. But because of that one act of obedience, just to go and say, hey, good to have you in church today. There was no lengthy conversation that day. But weeks or months later, he came and told me, this is where I was at that morning. And by your coming out and saying hello to me, that let me know God sees me, God hears me, and he's real. And I want to start a relationship with him. There's joy in a word spoken in the right moment. So when God lays something on your heart, do it in obedience, unabandoned obedience. Go forth and make it happen. And yeah, I had to bypass a couple hundred people to get to him. But was it worth it? Oh, yeah. A word spoke in the right moment. A word spoke at the right time. Deliver the word of the Lord when he lays it on your heart. Express joy in giving God's word to his people. Experience joy. How do you experience joy? What's God's word say about it? Luke 15, verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7. I tell you, of course, Jesus is talking in this passage about the parable of the lost sheep, that he would leave the 99 to go find the lost one. And the last verse in that piece is, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. How do you experience joy? Repent. Lead someone to repentance. Walk somebody through repentance. Heaven rejoices. We should rejoice. Instead of saying, oh, did you see who was in church today? Why were they here? They don't know Jesus. Church isn't just for those who know Jesus. I say this all the time. I'm going to say it again. Half your friends should be unsaved. Half the people you engage with and do life with should be unsaved. There should be people you're walking with to sharpen and strengthen and encourage your walk in Christ. And there should be people that you're leading to their Lord and Savior, to repentance, so that they too can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Heaven rejoices when one comes to repentance. Not just salvation. Yes, heaven rejoices when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, but also when we come to repentance, when we come to the knowledge, God, there's sin in my life, and I need it out. I want to be in right standing with you. I repent of my wrongdoings. Heaven rejoices. Oh, we should rejoice also. That's exciting. What else does God's word say about experience joy? Of course, his word says a lot more than these 10 verses we're covering today. But most of you probably want to see the Super Bowl today. So we're not covering all the joy verses of the Bible. Just so you know, this is not a complete kit. But this one is. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is one of my verses for the year. So you might hear this several times throughout this year. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be made mature and complete, not lacking anything. What does it look like to experience joy? To endure trials and hardships? Yeah. Joy looks like enduring hardship. Joy looks like suffering through trials. Joy doesn't always look beautiful and lovely, but what God produces through those hardships and trials, that's where we find the joy. It's God, you're refining in me a new heart. God, you're refining in me a right attitude. God, you're refining in me right thinking. God, you're refining in me right actions. And that rightness takes us back to that original verse, the righteousness, living righteously before God that is pleasing to him. The first piece of that, consider it pure joy or count it all joy. When you count something, it's very intentional. It's on purpose. You look into. If you can think of a kid taking out their piggy bank to count it, they're intentional. They're on purpose. We're going to stack the quarters. We're going to stack the dimes. We're going to stack the nickels. We're going to stack the pennies. Like, you take an in-depth look into what's going on to assess what's it worth. So when we count it all joy, we're taking assessment of God, where are you in the midst of the trial or the circumstance or the hardship, and what's it worth? What's it adding up to? What's it doing to me? What's it producing in me? I could tell you lots of life stories where when I've looked back and said, God, let's count it, let's look at it and look from the front end to the back end, it's like, oh, now I see what you were doing, and look at the result. Look at where we're at today. So count it all joy whenever you endure hardship. Why? So we can be made mature and complete and lacking nothing, which is where God wants to get us to. Mature, complete, lacking nothing. In the process, we get to grow and develop our joy. We get to find our joy. Think of this job I was doing. It's probably close to 20 years ago now, 18, 20 years ago. I was doing construction at the time, building housing, and we had this concrete job. We were pouring about 22 yards of concrete. The only problem was, the closest you could get a concrete truck was about 300 feet, which is essentially the length of a football field. And as my grandpa would say, it was uphill both ways. But really, it was only uphill from the concrete truck to the pads we were pouring. So we got to push the heavy 200-plus-pound wheelbarrow up the hill. And it was through the lawn, so we couldn't just go where we wanted, so we had these 2 by 12 wooden planks, and we had tracks of them to push the wheelbarrow along so we didn't leave ruts in the yard. And if you've ever done concrete work, it's not something like, you know, let's just take the day and do it. Let's, you know, have a snack and another coffee break, and maybe we'll stop for lunch. And no, concrete is like, it needs to get down and down fast. So it's fast and furious, as hard as you can go, as fast as you can push a wheelbarrow. with a quarter yard of mud in it. They might have been 300 or 400 pounds. I don't know. They were very heavy. So you're pushing it the length of a football field, and it was an uphill incline the whole way. You would dump your wheelbarrow, and you would turn and run back around and get it full again, and you would run. There were five of us. We're just going, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. We had 22 yards of concrete to put down, which is 2.5 concrete trucks. Just if you see them dry, it's a lot of mud to sling in a wheelbarrow. And then when you get done hauling it, now you have to start the process of finishing before it gets hard and ugly. You have to start edging and cutting your lines in and smoothing it out. And you're working this whole process. It's fast and furious for a couple of hours. Very hard work. But the homeowner, he's mid-50s at the time. We get done, we get all the concrete set, and we're just waiting to do the finish coat. He goes, wasn't that great? We just got paid to work out. Find the joy in your hardship. Find the joy in your struggle. Really, we just got paid to work out. Most people pay to go to the gym. But sometimes we have to look, we have to dig, but find the joy in your struggle. Find the joy in your hardship. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Be empowered by the joy the Lord offers you. Joy is choosing to respond to an external circumstance, not react, respond. Right? What do EMTs do when they show up on the scene? They respond to the mess. They don't react. React is the mom that's standing over there. Oh my God, is that my kid? Sorry, there were a couple people sleeping. That's a reaction. An EMT walks on scene and goes, I've been trained. I know what to look for. Okay. That guy's leg fell off. Somebody take care of that. That guy's unconscious, but he's breathing. Let him sit for a minute. This guy has a massive head contusion. He needs immediate pressure or he's going to bleed out. And then they go about their duties and they save lives. But when we respond in joy, the way we're supposed to, joy is a response. Joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction, because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish his work in and through our lives. Remember that joy comes from the Lord, and it is a choice to choose joy. Go in the strength of the joy of the Lord. Engage in it each and every day. Expect it, accept it, expose it, express it, and experience the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God's good. God is so good. You've got to invite him in. Invite his principles into your life. Invite the fruit of his spirit into your life. You have to take responsibility for yourself and what God's doing in your life. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you offer to us, God, so many great gifts. God, your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you. God, the fruit of your Spirit, God, that can grow and develop inside of us. And God, we ask that you would open our eyes, God, to see the joy in each and every moment, God, of our lives, each and every day of our lives. Father, we just thank you, God, that it's something we can work towards. It's something we can ask for, God. It's something we can expect to take place, God, in our lives and the lives of those around us. God, I ask that you would stir in us a hunger to seek, God, your joy. God, that we would draw our strength from you and that which you have to offer.